Now, why are we using Tom Petty as our intro music? Well, I'll tell you why, because I like Tom Petty. That's why. And Robert didn't pick anything. So he gets what he gets. He can like it or he can lump it. He probably likes it better than the country music, so.
You have control issues, so.
No.
You wouldn't like my music.
I don't have any control issues as long as you let me be in control.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's all it is.
All right, y'all. It is time for the Area Fishing Report featuring your favorite, Mr. Robert Lukowitz, and the guy you have to put up with to get to Robert, Captain Josh Olive. That would be me, myself, and I. We are a couple days late with this. Yes, I know. We usually do this on Thursdays. I was very busy on Thursdays with other stuff, so we're doing this on Saturday, and you're lucky you get it at all. So,
especially on a Saturday in here.
Exactly. But listen, I guarantee it to be worth every penny that you pay for it. So we're going to jump right in with both feet and start out with the Peace River, Harbor Heights Park, Sans Souci Trestle, Chester Robert Park, Lettuce Lake, Boat Ramp, Peace River Water Plant area.
Very slow.
Very slow.
Been a couple of snook up there, but overall it's mainly gars.
Well, now alligator gar, you forgot to say alligator. Every time you say gar, you have to say alligator, right?
Yes, absolutely, because that's exactly what they all are. Now, what's the most common one? Is that the spotted gar or the long-nosed gar?
So we have Florida gar and we have long-nosed gar. That's what we've got in our area. Spotted gar further up north.
Oh, okay. So the long nose is the most common one up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And quite a few gar, but no alligator gar.
No.
If I can spell alligator.
Do they even exist here in Florida anymore?
You know, alligator gar are really a fish of the Mississippi River drainage, but they also tolerate salt water pretty well. So you find them sometimes in North Florida, the Panhandle area,
right,
dipping into the bays. And, of course, alligator gar are also kept by a certain subset of people who like to keep very large, very aggressive fish.
Uh-huh.
Only they discover that you can't really keep an alligator gar in captivity, so they end up releasing them. It's right. Florida. We've got everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything. Move your microphone a little bit. Make yourself louder. There
Is
you
that
go.
Loud enough?
Well, that was annoyingly loud, but just talk louder, why don't you?
I can.
Hey!
Is that better?
That is so much better.
Okay.
You guys might have to put up with Robert breathing. I've tried to stop him from doing it, but he's insistent. Always wanting oxygen.
I know.
It's okay.
One of those things that's necessary.
Let's move our way on down the river a little bit to the I-75 bridges.
Still about the same. Nothing really exciting happening there. I've heard of two snook and two black drum. That is it. And it was the same guy. So, that tells you how exciting it's been there.
Well,
you know, unfortunately. You know, it is that time of year where it goes in spurts. And when you only have one guy give you a report for that area, it's kind of hard to be real accurate.
Right. Yeah, one report could mean anything.
Yes, exactly.
All right, how about the 41 bridges?
That's been better. Let's see, you got some snapper. Been a few trout even caught. But the main thing that they're catching off of there right now is cobia and some small assorted sizes or small assorted species of sharks, mostly bull sharks. But there was an Atlantic sharp nose caught there, and it honestly actually looked like a black tip in the picture.
Okay,
so that would
cool.
be my best guess.
That is cool. What's a sharp nose doing way up there?
I don't know. The one that caught it just left.
He's lost.
So I saw the picture. It was true sharp nose.
And these cobia?
No, they're catching them of all sizes. They're catching them right there at the Power Pole Park or Live Oak Park, whatever you want to call it, and off the bridge itself. And they're catching them on mullet, chunks of ladyfish, and whiting if you can catch them. There's been some whiting there, just not an abundance of them. If you're looking for food, there's not that many of them. But if you're looking for bait, there's enough there for that. And then, of course, the cow-nose rays coming by semi-regularly in their little mating schools, which people are enjoying seeing because I've had several people that don't fish but stopped in here to ask about them.
Right.
Yeah. That's always kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. As long as you have somebody up there shooting them with a bow and arrow.
No. Unfortunately, unfortunately, it's a good thing not to hear that kind of stuff. I would prefer not to hear it.
How about the Lashley Pier?
They've been getting a couple cobia off of there. A couple snook at night. And I've heard of a couple little bull sharks in addition to that. But no snapper, no trout, nothing else. Pretty quiet.
No sheep's head?
Mm-mm.
That's kind of over up here.
Yeah. Plus, I think half the guys that are down there right now are actually trying to target the cobia or the shark.
Gotcha. Well, I only mentioned the sheep's head because you guys still have fiddler crabs in.
Yeah.
And as soon as they see fiddler crabs, some people can only think of sheep's head. Mm-hmm. And they go to their usual spots where they've caught them, you know, in January, February.
Right.
Failing to realize that it's almost May.
Right. And a snapper will eat them. You know, snook will eat them. Redfish will eat them. I mean, just pretty much everything eats a fiddler crab, but they only seem to associate it with just sheep's head.
Hey, you know what would be awesome?
What?
Catching a cobia on a fiddler crab.
That would be pretty funny.
I bet he'd eat it.
In a skinny minute, because I've seen their stomachs with a whole lot of little tiny crabs in there the size of, you know, a little bigger than your thumbnail, but not by much.
All right. Now, how about the Bayshore Pier? We haven't had a whole lot of activity going on here, and we've got one of those closed right now.
Right. Still a few cobia, a couple of sharks. That's pretty much it. A couple of guys did see, well, I should say one guy took a walk out there yesterday and saw some snook underneath the dock. Did not fish for them, did not even try to bother with them, but he at least saw a few there. I'm like, okay. Not super unusual, but not something that's common by any stretch.
Now, I don't know how long that pier is going to stay closed. They said that one of the county engineers went out there and noticed that there was a structural problem, but didn't say what the structural problem was, nor give an estimate of how long it might take to fix. So,
considering the last time they fixed it was, what, about 8 years ago, and they redid all the pilings on the end?
Yeah.
So what did they do wrong?
I don't know.
Because I would have thought it would have lasted a little bit longer than that.
And, I mean, it literally could be anything from, you know, we've got pilings that are in danger of collapsing to, oh, wait a minute, there's a loose board here on the walk.
Right.
So structural problem is pretty vague.
Mm-hmm.
And without giving any kind of additional information, we really don't know. A lot of people are jumping into conspiracy theories and saying this is part of the Sunseeker thing and that the park's been sold and they're going to close both of the piers and that's all a big secret. And, you know, I don't know about nothing about none of that, but, you know, it is temporarily closed. Let's hope that doesn't last too long.
Yeah, it's like our conversation earlier. Very vague.
We always have vague conversations. It's my favorite kind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about the Port Charlotte Saltwater Canals, Port Charlotte Beach Pier, and associated areas?
Well, there's been quite a few juvenile tarpon moving around all those canals. A handful of jacks. But the biggest thing is some of the guys catching cobia and small sharks off of the beach complex. And that's really about all they're catching. I haven't heard of any snook, which usually there's a few night guys out there trying to catch them. But the cobia and the small sharks, that's the main thing. Which is pretty good.
And you told the story on the Radio Waterline show about the guy who had to jump into the water to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to jump into the water at a pier, this is the one where you want to do it.
Just don't dive. Go feet first.
Yeah.
Feet first, because, I mean, what, at the end it's maybe 4 feet on a high tide?
Maybe. But it's shallow enough that you can actually do that. And it's low enough to the water that you can safely do it.
Yes.
So, you know, don't do that up at the Venice Pier.
No. I've seen people jump off of it.
Uh-huh.
Many times.
Seen people jump off all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Some of them wish that they hadn't.
Yeah.
How about the Elgin Bean Pier and Boat Ramp?
Elgin Bean Pier, they're getting a couple of cobia. Heard of a couple trout this week. Black drum. Some very small mangrove snapper. Still a couple of sheep's head there, but very, very few. And then at night, they're hooking into some small juvenile tarpon, like in that 30-pound range, and some snook. Mostly small snook, but there has been a few big snook being caught right underneath the bridge by a couple of the boat anglers that know how to do it right there. The land-based guys are having a little bit more of a struggle with it. But that's okay. That's good for them once in a while.
Yes, it is.
Especially the way they throw those fish off the top of the pier when they can't keep them. Splat.
Yep. Sounds like a lot going on down there, actually.
Mm-hmm. Better than it has been.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Myakka River area, the cutoff, cattle dock, tippy canoe in the 14-foot hole.
Pretty much out in the open water. Quite a few cobia. Been a couple of oddball Spanish mackerel up there. A few smaller sharks. And then a lot of little snook over in the cutoff. And that's pretty much about all I've heard. Which is kind of a good little mix.
Yeah, it's not too bad. No bigger snook up there, though?
No. Not that I have heard of, anyway.
Still eating shrimp?
Yeah.
Don't have to have white bait?
Well, if you want to catch a whole lot of little snook, yeah. White bait works great for catching 20 or 30 little peanuts up in that cutoff. But that's what white bait's really good for more than anything else, is numbers game, not a quality game.
Alrighty, how about the South Gulf Cove canals?
Mayan cichlids, tilapia, and a couple of bass.
Good numbers? A handful?
On the Mayan cichlids and the tilapia, better numbers, but on the bass, just a few. Guy did buy shiners the other day because he was going to try to catch that snook and juvenile tarpon that had been hanging out around his light, but he never did come back in to let me know how he did.
Got a little lockjaw up there.
Well, he's trying to fish an underwater light, so most people fish it totally wrong, even after you explain to them how to do it.
Right. Well, because you explain it, it sounds so weird.
So does fishing on light from underwater.
Yeah.
That's pretty foreign when you're used to fishing lights from above and a sun that is above you. It's hard to get people to understand that sometimes.
Yeah. You can stand on your head and see if it makes any more sense. Put the sun at your feet.
Well, I think people should actually dive down below and look up and see what they see, how much different it is. Because fish, I'm sure, are completely seeing it in a whole different light.
And if you don't want to dive down below, we totally get that. But, you know, waterproof cameras have gotten pretty cheap these days.
Right.
Put a GoPro on a stick and get a real good idea of what's happening down there.
It would make a lot more sense that way.
How about let's slide our way to the west wall and the creeks to include blowdown oyster and trout creeks.
A handful of snook over on that side with a handful of redfish. Most of the redfish I'm hearing about are in that 24 to 30 inch range. Most of the snook I'm hearing about are more in that 12 to 24 inch range. A couple guys did see some bigger snook cruising along the shoreline because it's very clear over there. But you also have some cobia that have been on top of the bar and just on the outside edge of the bar, along with a few sharks of assorted varieties. Been not too bad over there.
Now, are there enough of those cobia and sharks out there that you'd say this is a place you could go and you could target them? Or is it just, hey, we happen to be coming off the bar after we fished up by the bushes and we saw one of those fish, so we went for it?
No, I think there's enough numbers cruising around over there where it's worth fishing for them. You know, if I'm fishing up in that, like, 5 feet or less of water out there, I'm probably going to drift. I'm going to try to set up a drift where I can parallel the bar, whether it's with a trolling motor or hope the wind's blowing the right way, and just try to drag a couple baits along and also be standing on the bow while doing that, being prepared to cast to something swimming towards me or around me. And any shadow I see swimming, I would be casting to it, because cobia are so hard to tell whether it's a cobia or a small shark.
Right. Sometimes, you know, you get the water a little bit murked up out there with the wind we've been having. That shadow might be a manatee, it might be a big old ray. Doesn't really matter, because any of those has a tendency to magically turn into a cobia.
Absolutely. So that's what I would be messing around with.
How about Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay?
Cape Hayes has been doing pretty good on the Boca Grande side. Spanish mackerel, bonnet heads, some black tips, and Atlantic sharp nose, a couple of cobia, and then some ladyfish and a few trout. kind of a good mixed variety of stuff. Is it gangbusters? No, but if I was taking a kid fishing or a new person fishing, that would be my probably first pick because of the variety of species and the consistency to it.
And the harbor side hasn't been doing as much?
No, it's so shallow through there and all that grass is kind of starting to die off that it's not nearly as productive as it once was. Plus, flipper has been a real bear right through there.
Dig it.
Yeah.
All right. Making our way on, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut. That's out of order. It's Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut, Bull Bay. I should fix that.
It is whatever it is. It's all that same general football field. So a lot of trout scattered throughout all those areas. Some snook, a few redfish, an assortment of sharks. Turtle Bay had some juvenile tarpon towards the back by the shack and that deeper trough going from that shack over to the cut going into Bull Bay. Yeah, it's been decent in there.
Decent.
Yeah.
Not amazing.
No.
Not incredible.
But not terrible either.
Well, sometimes. Yeah. That's worth it.
Yeah. And it's great to go in there sightseeing this time of year. This is a good time of year to go in there and try to find some of those deeper pockets and oyster patches that are way out in the open for future fishing spots. People can't get over how clear it is right now out there.
Okay. Excellent water clarity allows for good recon and sightseeing opportunities.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Moving out to open water, Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Got nothing right on top of them, but there has been cobia around them. And a few assorted sharks. A couple of guys that have been fishing on it. They caught a couple baby snapper and a couple baby gag grouper. And I mean babies, like the snapper could almost beat up the gag grouper.
Wow.
The gag grouper have been from 9 inches up to about 14 inches. And the snapper have been averaging about 7 to 9 inches on average. So Not a lot of good stuff on the actual reef. Just the close proximity.
How about the Spanish mackerel?
There's been a few out there. They're just scattered, but there's been a lot of little minnows, so as long as the glass minnows come close to that area, yes, you're going to get them. If not, it's just an incidental bycatch right now. At least over those reefs. If you're more out on that open water with where you think the cobia might be, then been a few more out there.
Gotcha. Only reason that I ask is because we've had lots of Spanish in the report for the last several weeks. So
yeah.
Worth wondering.
Because I overlook stuff all the time, too.
Well, I would say that you just have other things that you're focused on.
Okay.
And we all have that, where we get focused on certain things. And when you have a bunch of cobia in the report, sometimes it's easier to focus on that. Forget about the Spanish mackerel.
This is true.
Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats.
Oh, well, according to Mike this morning, trout. Catching trout through there and some ladyfish. A lot of little snook. Been a couple of bigger snook seen along the bushes. And then some Spanish mackerel out in that little bit deeper water. And then an assortment of sharks from little bonnet heads all the way up to 4-foot black tips and an occasional 7 or 8 foot bull cruising by.
So we'll call that small to medium?
Yeah. 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 Pretty decent amount of fish through there. Haven't heard of any tarpon or any juvenile tarpon, but definitely a good mixed variety of stuff.
How about Placida to include the pier, the trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, and Gasparilla Pass?
Some Spanish mackerel off of it. Been
from the pier?
One cobia, yeah. One cobia that the guy broke it off next to the dock because he didn't jump off to go land that one.
No, not that pier.
No. let's see what else. Some baby gags, a few mangroves. One, what I could tell from his lousy angled picture, was possibly a permit. but not really certain. And then at night, they've been getting a few sharks and some snook. And the Spanish have been coming through there. I don't know if I mentioned them. They've been coming through sporadically.
We started out with that.
Okay. Yeah, what else? I forgot. Some of the boat guys fishing around there are still catching a few sheep's head. I just haven't heard of any of the land-based guys getting the sheep's head.
Gotcha.
Not very many, but enough probably worth mentioning.
For the parts of the trestle where you need a boat.
There you go.
Because neener neener if you don't have a boat, apparently.
I guess so.
Lemon Bay. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park.
Got nothing.
Nothing.
Got nothing this week.
That is 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Well, it's like Bill, who sends me the reports from the Inglewood Fishing Club all the time. Most of his guys that he's getting the reports from are coming down into that Placida area to fish.
Right.
Yeah. Because he sends me at least one report a week.
Have you heard anything from the Anger Pier?
A couple Spanish mackerel. A couple of nighttime guys fishing for some snook, but mostly catching littler ones. And that is pretty much it.
You ever catch a Spanish at night?
No. You?
Nope.
They gotta be awake. They don't sleep.
No. They don't. You'd think they'd be doing something.
Strange.
Maybe they're too busy not getting eaten.
Maybe.
But they get eaten during the daytime, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. And the same way, a cobia, I've heard maybe a half a dozen cobia over all the years that have been caught at night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they're pretty active at night.
Well, and take a look at grouper, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go out reef fishing at night, you catch a ton of snapper.
Right.
But not so many grouper.
No.
I mean, one every now and then. But they just don't seem to be feeding much once it gets dark. You would think it wouldn't make too much difference to them.
No. Especially in the depth of water you mostly find them in.
Right?
Yeah.
Mysteries. Mysteries everywhere.
Stuff to get you to scratch your head and go, hmm.
Yeah, well, think about that while you're telling me what's at the Venice Jetties and Sharky's Pier.
Spanish mackerel. Lots at both places.
Lots of... Okay.
And then there's also been still a few sheep's head there at the jetties.
Enough to worry about going down there for them?
I would. I mean, if you really wanted a sheep's head, I think that's a better place to go from land. Been a few whiting, one flounder. And then at night, there's been some snook piling in through there. Not great numbers, but enough where it's worth checking out. Especially if you live up there.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being just incredible, how's the snook fishing?
5.5. 5.25. I mean, there's definitely fish there. They're sporadic through there. I think we got another few weeks before they start to get to be a 9 or a 10.
I can dig that.
I think June's more the 10 number.
Yeah. Okay, moving out to the Gulf of Mexico, going bottom fishing and trolling. Now, we did have some opportunities to get out with some lighter winds on some days, and then some heavier winds that startled some people who weren't expecting it, because the weather report has been more filled with lies than usual.
Well, it's kind of like today. They weren't calling for this much wind today that there is.
No, they definitely weren't. They said it was going to be 8 to 13.
I think they're closer to the 13 than they are the 8.
Yeah. I mean, it's a steady 15 on land.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's going to be huffing a little bit out there. And you know, that report that I do, that report is for 40 miles offshore.
Nice.
And I do that because when you read the inshore report, you know, if you do a report for like 2 miles off the beach, it almost always says, you know, unless it's really going to be blowing out there, it always says seas are going to be 1 foot or less, and it's going to be 5 to 10 knots. And that's never right. So I get the further offshore report, which is a little bit more pessimistic, but more likely to be accurate.
Yeah.
And even then, they keep making much rosier predictions than what's actually happening out there.
It's great, isn't it?
It's enough to drive a sane person crazy.
Really?
Yep.
But most crazy people don't know they're crazy. They think they're sane. Look at me.
I've told you multiple times, if you don't know by now,
I'm in denial.
That there's just no helping you. So, what if I get Christina to tell you? Has she explained it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just denied it too.
Well, it's harder when crazy people are telling crazy people they're crazy.
That's true. So. Even better.
Can you tell me what we have going on in the Gulf of Mexico, or are we just going to do this instead?
We're going to just do this instead. This will be my therapy session for the day. I got the chair and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, if you want to do that, that's fine. I'll just copy over from what we had.
95 to 120 feet of water, red grouper, some bigger mangrove snapper, bigger lanes, a few yellowtail, and a few vermilions. There has been a few kings out there. The kings seem to vary from 10 miles out to 40 miles out. Same way with the Spanish. There has been a couple of cobia again caught out there. One guy saw a sailfish. He actually saw it free jump. And was pretty much 100% sure it was a sailfish because it was about 50 yards from his boat. And then you got a couple, one in particular that caught a wahoo out there, but I think they were closer to that 130, 140 feet of water, I think. That would be my better guess. But I have had them caught in shallower water than that. And from what I understand, he was actually broke down and being towed back, so they just, or not towed back, they're either being towed back or they only had one motor and they were limping it back.
So you might as well troll? Trolling.
Yep.
That's a genius move.
It is. I've never understood why people don't do that. It's like, okay, your day's already shot. Whether you're being towed back or limping it back on one motor, why not throw some lines out? You got nothing to lose. You're already taking your sweet time coming home.
Well, I'm in a bad mood now. My fishing got ruined.
Yeah, God forbid your fishing gets ruined because you hook another fish.
I'm just going to be grumpy instead. Not even bother to put a line out. Probably won't catch nothing anyway. Nothing but bad luck today.
Yeah, exactly.
Dopes.
Yep.
All right. We are now going to the passes. We will start at the south with Punarasa.
A few tarpon down there.
My fingers were so ready to type no reports.
Nope.
You don't even know.
Gotten a few reports of tarpon down there, right along the intercoastal and next to the pass. And same way with up at Redfish Pass, so you can cut and paste that one pretty much the same.
Okay. Well, then I have to fix the typos in it.
Yeah, you should do that.
Jeez, people are going to think, Frank, type this.
Right?
What's going on over here?
What are you doing?
My fingers were so ready for something else.
You're all pinkies today.
They just... They got confused when you gave them a whole... Oops.
Right.
And then I copied when I should have pasted, and pasted when I should have copied.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what's going on with me now.
Now you're all confused and flustered.
Yeah, you somehow screwed the whole thing up.
Well, start over and I'll help you type it out.
Okay, here we go. Now, Captiva Pass.
Been a few Spanish mackerel down there, an assortment of sharks. Heard of a couple tarpon, but not very many for some reason. And the snook are starting to move in through there. They've seen a few right there in the past, just on the inside, and a couple out on the beach side.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole general vicinity is starting to hold them a little bit better.
No, I mean hearing about snook on the beach.
Yeah. They're starting to.
I like it.
I think we got a little bit longer before they really stack up out there.
Well, but still, it's exciting when you hear about it starting to happen. You know, a lot of people, they hear about it starting to happen, and they think that it's really happened. You know, this is it. It's really happened. We get that with the tarpon especially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tarpon's just starting to happen. We're just starting to see the first couple out there. I got to go tarpon fishing immediately. No, you don't. Settle down. Wait. Cool it. Calm down. Nobody's making that their best bet yet.
No.
Wait until it gets good. But this is good that we're hearing about some snook moving in on the beach. Now, why aren't there more tarpon in Captiva Pass?
There's never a ton of fish inside the pass for some reason, but they usually gather around the ICW side of it and the beach side of it, but for some reason it just never loads up with fish the way you would think it would.
Is it because Boca Pass is so close?
I don't know.
Because the weird thing about that is that sometimes they do stack up there in Gasparilla a lot more than people would expect.
Right.
But if I were going to pick based on how the water looks, the depth of the water, all the other factors that I would think a tarpon would want, I would assume
Captiva would be my choice, absolutely.
Oh, by a long shot. And yet,
absolutely. Nothing.
Stupid fish.
Yeah.
They don't know.
That's why they're called tarpon.
Hey, speaking of Boca Grand Pass.
Hey.
Boca Grand Pass is the next spot. What's going on there?
There's tarpon in there.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. There's tarpon, lots of tarpon, and quite a few big bull sharks that are harassing the tarpon. Actually, they're just flat out devouring them.
Well, tarpon are bait fish if you're a big bull shark.
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the food chain. You know, other than that, I haven't heard of anything on the bottom fishing because the only people that are crazy enough to be out there are pretty much the tarpon fishermen. Some of the land-based guys are doing that out there, but we'll get to that here in a minute.
Okay. How about the mackerel in there? Anybody been making any attempt?
Not really. There's just too many people.
Focused on the tarpon?
Yeah, there's just too many boats in there, and especially on the weekends, it's a nightmare.
I'm going to put there are probably some mackerel, but nobody cares.
Pretty much. Man, I know they're in there. It's just nobody's fishing for them. They don't want to deal with that headache, and I don't blame them. I can catch mackerel inside or go out away from those people on the outside and catch them rather than dealing with that headache.
I dig it.
NASCAR fishing.
All right, the pass that isn't a pass, Matlache Pass.
I honestly haven't gotten anything down there this week. I mean, some guys are catching some thread fins down there to catch for bait, to go looking for tarpon and other miscellaneous stuff, but I haven't gotten a report from anywhere in that vicinity at all this week. Little out of character.
Hmm. Well, it happens.
It does.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Not going to lose any sleep over it.
Every man's had to experience this sometime, Robert.
Uh-huh.
All right. Pine Island Sound.
Let's see. We got tarpon cruising through there. Assortment of sharks. Spanish mackerel. Been a few trout. And then the snook and redfish have been scattered throughout the whole area, mostly up underneath the bushes and along some of the oyster patches. Overall, it's been pretty decent for a good mixed bag of stuff. Quite a few fly guys have been going down there to mess around with trout and Spanish mackerel, seeing the occasional tarpon and throwing at those too. And that's been primarily the most reports I've gotten is from about a mile south of Captiva Pass up to the top end of Pine Island Sound. Haven't gotten too many reports way down except for right at the end by St. James City with a few tarpon.
Okay. I think we should probably split Pine Island Sound anyway into north and south halves.
I just don't get a huge amount of reports for the south half.
Yeah, I know, but even so, that's kind of the point, though. Because what we're talking about is we're talking about the north end of Pine Island Sound versus the south end, which things may be going on totally different down there. And I think even if we put no reports, no reports, no reports, and then every now and then had, oh, caught a bunch of Spanish mackerel, you know, I think that that has greater value to people who are looking at these reports versus taking Pine Island Sound, which is this huge body of water, and really we're just giving them what's happening at the north end.
Yeah, you got a point.
But I'm not going to fix that now.
Why not?
Because I'm lazy.
Oh.
Jug Creek Shoals and Boquelia.
Some trout, a few Spanish mackerel, a couple of small sharks, a black nose and sharp nose have been in there semi-regularly. That's about it. I never heard of anything off the Boquelia Pier. Most of it's just been right there out on the flats in the immediate area.
Okay. And some sharks.
Yeah, an assortment of sharks. Mostly the sharp nose and a black nose. The two pictures I saw of black tips were probably black tips, but the pictures were very lousy.
It can be hard to tell.
Especially with the belly shot with the head kind of turned the opposite way.
Yeah.
That was one of the pictures.
I can tell you if it's male or female. Does that help?
Yeah, that was pretty much about it. The other picture was kind of a above shot with the head kind of tweaked and turned downward just a little bit too much for me to identify it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's difficult because people will send you shark pictures that they want identified, but they were scared to hold the shark in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So you get all kinds of crazy angles that the shark's being held at, and it's like, well, I can't see the underside of the snout, I can't really see the fins, I can't really see the eye, I definitely can't see the teeth. I don't know what you want me to go on to identify this fish.
Yeah. Well, it's like I told a guy the other day, he's like, oh, I was catching these sharks, and well, where were they? Well, thought they were this, and I thought it was that, but I think they're just sand sharks. I'm like, yeah, that's what they were.
Yep, sand shark. Sand shark. I did see a sand shark on the beach once.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids had made a sand castle, but it was a shark.
Shaped it into a shark?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's pretty
good.
They
made a sand shark.
Nice.
It was big, too. Big 6-8 foot sand shark.
Very cool.
It could have been a sand cobia. It's hard to tell for sure when you can't build the dorsals up that high.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that's the only sand shark I've ever seen anywhere in this area. Burnt store and Tupine.
Snook and redfish up along the bushes. On top of the bar, they've been getting a couple of cobia, a couple of pompano, and some ladyfish. Didn't hear anything about any sharks. I would assume they're there, but just didn't get any reports on them. You know, but the water is super, super clear over there. The one picture I saw, the guy with the snook, was a really beautiful picture because you could actually see the sandbar behind him. And it looked like you could see, like, sand holes around him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty awesome little picture.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You can look right down there and see the mud where the grass used to be.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's awesome.
Moving our way north to the East Side Keys, Cormorant, Back Bay, Sneaky Creek, Hobbs Point, and Pirate Harbor.
From Pirate Harbor north, there's a splash of bonnet heads, a couple of trout, a few cobia. That's just on top of the bar, pretty much. And then inside, there's been some snook and redfish, but mostly smaller snook that the guys are catching with white bait. Hasn't been anything exceptional. But they're at least trying and having fun.
Hey, sometimes that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Try and have fun. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink.
The only thing I've gotten up in there is some jacks and some small snook. Other than that, it's been fairly quiet.
And on your 1 to 10 scale here?
1.5.
1.5.
I wouldn't go up there if it was me.
That kind of sounds like don't even bother.
I wouldn't, personally. I mean, if I lived up in there, I'd troll my way in and troll my way out. But that's about it.
All right, how about Ponce de Leon Park?
A couple of jacks, a couple of small snook. One guy caught a cobia there the other day, standing on the pier itself. And there has been a couple of incidental sharks coming through. Or following the trough in for a little bit and then turn around and going right back out. Hard to say.
Right, why am I even here?
Yeah, do a U-turn. Went the wrong direction. Head straight ahead, Itis. Let's just follow this. Oh, no, wrong direction.
So, in other words, kind of sounds slow.
Yeah. Oops.
What was that noise? Don't do that again.
Somebody in the truck just went, eh, what the heck was that?
Thought I lost a tire. PGI Canals, Elizabeth Park, Barge Canal, PG Nature Park.
Still have no idea where Elizabeth Park is.
You know what? I think this is actually a lake.
Oh, really?
I think.
Yeah, it's not that important to me. I don't hear any reports from it, so I don't know.
Well, I'm going to learn you where Elizabeth Park is here in a little bit.
Okay.
But probably not till the fishing report's done.
I put that on your spot check next week.
Throw it into the list.
Yeah. I had it right there with Ollie's Park.
Need a list of spots that nobody's ever heard of or gone to.
You should. You should come up with just random spots that are way underutilized or known.
Or you could pick random spots and give them names.
There you go. That'd be perfect.
Robert's Little Rocks.
Yeah, thanks.
Loogie Lair.
I do have to pick up one of those maps to have that just to throw in my archive of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And when I'm long gone, nobody will know what it is anyway.
That's your legacy. Robert's Little Rocks and the Loogie Lair.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert's Little Rocks. Just what I want. Anyway, where are we at now?
PGI Canals and other random nearby areas.
Lots of snook, mostly small. Black drum are starting to cooperate a little bit better. Been a handful of jacks. And there's also been a handful of tarpon moving around and rolling, but I don't know anyone that's catching them or hooking them. That's about it, other than the guy just broke his little rod on a snapper that was just in here a few minutes ago.
Whoops.
It's like, I don't know how it broke. So what'd you do? Well, I hooked it on the little piling or the branch underneath my dock. I said, and you tried lifting straight up, right? Well, yeah. So the line came back towards the rod, and he goes, yeah. I said, well, that's why you broke it. Can't do that. He was excited because he actually learned something new because he was appreciative of learning that.
That is the hard way to learn it, but at least he learned it.
Yeah, but it was good. He was actually interested in understanding that stuff. It's always fun when people like to learn stuff.
Right.
Even though it's something that costs them money.
Yeah, that's much better than the people who just refuse to learn.
And this is true, too.
You explain it to them half a dozen times, and they're like, well, I'm going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Keep hitting yourself against the wall with that.
I eagerly await your report of how well it worked for you.
Yes.
Speaking of hitting your head against the wall, the Gilchrist Pier.
One cobia, one little bull shark, and that's it. But that's better than what we've been getting.
No, that's not true, because last week there were more fish than that. There was one bull shark, two whiting, and several catfish.
Oh, okay. Well, and there probably was a few catfish. They just didn't acknowledge that. One woman that comes in here and takes her daughter out there regularly, and she watched a guy catch the cobia. They hooked and landed the little bull shark. So that was her second shark she's ever caught, so she was excited.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. Okay. We are now going to go to the 41 Bridge Reef, a.k.a. the Concrete Reef, a.k.a. the One Mile Reef, the Charlotte Harbor Reef, the Alligator Creek Reef, the Old Bridge Reef, The
Whitebait Reef.
Reef in the middle of the harbor. Cobia Reef.
Yeah.
The Anchor Reef.
Yep. All the above. It's got more names than whitebait. That's pretty interesting. Let's see. They're getting some cobia, a couple of Spanish mackerel, and a couple of sharks.
All right, how about the deep holes in Charlotte Harbor, also known as the 20-foot holes or the 20-foot bowls?
Spanish mackerel, cobia, and a few sharks. No tarpon to speak of yet, because they all pretty much are hanging out at the pass right now. I'm sure there's an incidental lost one out there, but it's mostly been the cobia and the small sharks, with a few Spanish in between. And then there's been those couple different schools of Kaunos race out there too, swimming around, getting people excited.
Yeah, I'm not putting that in here.
No. I don't blame you.
Okay. The baitfish report.
The baitfish report, really?
Yeah, the baitfish report. Okay. Listen, everybody wants whitebait. Everybody and their mama wants whitebait. They're all ready to go out there and catch it. So, what do we got?
Oh,
tell the truth now.
Marker 2, Marker 1, aka the Bag Brothers fishing spots. and then down at Devilfish and Jug Creek. Pretty much the four main places I'm hearing a white bait. And there has been...
Devilfish and what?
Jug Creek.
Jug Creek.
And then there has been some schools of thread fins out there from Pirate Harbor down to Matlachet. But I'm not hearing of really any pinfish at all, and I think that has a lot to do with the grass. Because even over there at Devilfish, they're not catching a lot of pinfish.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
It's all going to have a profound impact. Sooner or later, it's going to implode.
Now, this bait that we're seeing, the white bait, is it big enough to actually bother netting?
Some of it is. Just depends on the hour that you're there. Some of the guys that have been going out in the evenings have actually been catching more consistently bigger bait, but the guys that are there right at 4 o'clock in the morning,
right,
a.k.a. Bag Brothers, they're getting them. Some decent-sized ones. But there is a lot of small stuff out there. I would much rather throw a quarter-inch mesh net this time, well, any time of year for forever now, than a 3/8.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to kill a bunch of that stuff. I would rather have some of them survive as I dump them out of the net. Even if I get two to swim away, fine. That's better than zero. Especially if they're all headless.
Yeah. They don't swim away very well.
No. They sure don't.
Okay. Any bait offshore?
There has been some bait out there. They've been getting some Spanish sardines, some thread fins, a few blue runners, and of course some squirrel fish and a few pinfish. But those traps are all pretty much out of the water now, so anyone that needed to mark spots or have good bait spots, let the traps have to leave tomorrow or Tuesday or Monday.
Yeah.
They have to be actually out of the water by the first, correct?
I believe they have to be out of the water by the first, and they can sell crabs the next day.
So they're out today. Today is their last day for those pots to be out. And then, guess what? All you guys lost your breadcrumbs. Didn't mark them down.
I hope y'all marked them. Definitely should have.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then on Tuesday, the stone crab prices go through the roof.
Yep. They were already pretty high.
Yeah. It was a pretty lousy year. Even down in the Everglades, I heard it was really lousy.
Yeah.
It's, what, 2 years or 3 years in a row?
At least three.
Yeah.
They blamed it on the octopus the first year.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you can't get an octopus at all.
Nope.
I've been ordering octopus for probably about 5, maybe 6 months and can't get it.
Freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes.
Bass. More bass. And then some tilapia and some Mayan cichlids.
But bass on shiners?
Bass on shiners. We've been selling a lot of shiners. And then in the soft plastic parts of it, a couple of guys are buying swim baits, but most of them are buying the creature baits or the crawfish impersonations. Not even selling that many plastic worms. They're mainly going for the creature-looking baits.
Yeah, I bet they'll eat a worm.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
All right, last nut to crack. Tarpon reports.
Book of Grand Pass. That's definitely like a 9 out of 10. And then the intercoastal from, I would say, Placida down to Ponarasa is probably about a 7. And the beaches, no reports. Rest of the area, really no reports. They're pretty much all concentrated down there. If I want to see numbers, I'm going to fish Boca Grand Pass. If I want to see people, Boca Grand Pass. If I want to stand a chance of landing the fish, I'm going to fish the intercoastal from Captiva Pass down to Ponarasa. That's going to be my better pick, personally.
And what are we using for bait?
Down there in the intercoastal, I would be trying crabs and thread fins. In the pass itself, I'm going to be doing crabs, shrimp, And actually, shrimp would be my first choice. Crabs and squirrel fish would be a close second place. Problem with shrimp in the intercoastal is if you're actually sight fishing them, shrimp will work. But if you're just kind of blind casting out there and letting it sit and wait, too many other little hobber-dobbers like your shrimp too, so you're going to get trout, Spanish mackerel, pinfish, you know, just all sorts of stuff nibbling the snot out of it.
Right.
And at this point, probably a lot of lizard fish too.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, I can dig it. Hey, you know what? That brought us to the end of the list.
Hey.
So that's kind of all the things that we had to talk about. Was there anything that you needed to add to this? Any kind of overarching words of wisdom or anything that you really wanted to impart that you didn't get a chance to?
No, not that I can think of.
No?
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I feel like you could think of something if you really tried.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I feel like you're not even trying.
No, I'm not going to try.
Well, I don't blame you. That's fine. So, yeah, this was the Saturday Area Fishing Report. We are going to try to come back on Thursday and do the Area Fishing Report then. But if we screw that up, because it'll be my fault, not Robert's. It's never Robert's fault. Robert is as close to a perfect human being as you can get.
No, I screw up a lot. But one thing I don't do is be late.
Not that thing. That's the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's Robert's unforgivable sin, of which I am constantly guilty.
Most people.
So, anyway.
I'm late once in a while, but it's usually other people's faults because I got to rely on them.
Look, the point is we're going to try to do a Thursday report, okay? And if it fails, then we'll try to get you one at some other point in the week. But again, you're paying $0 and no cents for this, so we think it's worth it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fine. Well, if we're done with this, then there's only one thing left, and that's say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.